Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Carmanah Technologies Corporation First Quarter 2018 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listening mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. Before beginning its formal remarks, Carmanah would like to remind listeners that certain portions of today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in these forward-looking statements. For more information on the forward-looking statements and the company's risks and uncertainties relating to such forward-looking statements, please read Carmanah's annual report as filed on SEDAR and which is also posted on their website, www.carmanah.com. All currency amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars, with the exception of the company's TSX-listed share price, which is quoted in Canadian dollars. The company's financial statements are prepared in accordance with IFRS, or International Financial Reporting Standards. During this call, the company may also refer to adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS financial measure, which is calculated as earnings before interest, income taxes, amortization, stock-based compensation, and various one-time charges, which are detailed in their publicly filed management discussion and analysis. Carmanah uses this metric internally, in addition to others, to make strategic decisions and evaluate their performance. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference today, please press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Friday, May 11th, 2018, at 6:00 A.M. Pacific Time, 9:00 A.M. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Mr. John Simmons, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. As the operator said, I'm John Simmons, and I'm joined on this call by Evan Brown, our Chief Financial Officer. Yesterday, after the close of market, we released our first quarter 2018 results, which are now on SEDAR. I'm going to let Evan provide an overview of the financials, after which I'll make just a few comments and then open the floor for questions from the analysts and shareholders. Evan, over to you.
Thank you, John, and good morning to everyone on the call. In the first quarter of 2018, we generated consolidated revenues of $14.9 million, up 34% over the first quarter of 2017. The increase in revenues was attributed to continued strong performance from most of the signal verticals, which generated $13.5 million, up $3.5 million, or 41% over the first quarter of 2017. The illumination segment generated revenues of $1.4 million, down 7% over the first quarter of 2017. Our overall backlog continues to remain healthy at $8.9 million at the end of the first quarter. Gross margin percentage in the first quarter was 42.4%. Core operating expenses in the first quarter were $5.3 million, up $1.2 million over the first quarter of 2017. This increase was primarily due to the increased operating expenses related to the acquisition of Vega during the third quarter of 2017. Net income for the first quarter was $600,000, and adjusted EBITDA was $1.8 million. As of March 31st, our cash balance was $8.2 million, with senior debt of $3.4 million, for a net cash position of $4.8 million. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to pass it back to you, John.
Okay, Evan, thanks. Really, just a few things for me to note before opening for questions. First, we were pleased that our telematics business unit received its first product orders in Q1. Up until now, telematics has been developing its first device by way of a non-recurring engineering project for Globalstar. In the first quarter, our product was approved, and we finished manufacturing planning with our contract manufacturer. Most importantly, we received significant orders for this first device. Production is now flowing, and the product is shipping. We're pretty proud of this device. It is the first and only solar-powered device certified to the highest levels of intrinsic safety. In other words, it can be safely deployed in the most hazardous, potentially explosive environments. You know, the Internet of Things market this thrust keeps growing. Having demonstrated our ability to build this very challenging product, we're now seeking other customers who can use our expertise to build other endpoint peripherals that will support this Internet of Things market thrust. Next, I'm pleased that we were able to, I'm pleased that we're able to acquire a patent portfolio respecting aspects of a traffic safety product known in the industry as a rectangular rapid flashing beacon. The acquisition of this patent portfolio will allow us to continue to develop the market for this very effective product system. As a byproduct of the acquisition, the patent infringement lawsuits against us that we've been defending for many years fall away. And just before opening for questions, I think I should update you briefly on our integration of Vega Industries in New Zealand. As I mentioned in our last call, we were doing a full integration and rationalization of Vega into our marine subsidiary, Savic Marine. This includes a streamlining of the entire product offering and consolidating overheads. Originally, we expected that this integration would complete in 12 to 18 months post-acquisition, which means no later than the end of 2018. Today, it looks like we'll accomplish this task a little earlier than that. We're in the middle of transferring the products we are retaining from the whole Vega line to our facilities in Finland and Estonia. We've received and accepted offers on our New Zealand real estate that we acquired as part of the transaction. Overall, it's our current estimate that we'll cease operations in New Zealand by the end of the third quarter, which will result in a reduction of our overall overheads and have a corresponding add to our profitability. So those are the notable items that I wanted to bring your attention to from Q1. And I think I'll leave it at that. And operator, we're now happy to receive questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There may be a delay before the first question is announced. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset first before dialing. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And from Cormark Securities, we have McMurray Whale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I had a question just about on the illumination. I think in the past you talked about approaching the market with putting projects in place and in prime U.S. markets, and you had given us some metrics around and what your sort of target was and how many you've put in the field. And I wonder if you could just kind of review that sort of progress on that.
Boy, metrics as to how many we've placed in the field are not numbers I've got. First of all, good morning, Mac. I'm not sure we've got metrics in terms of units placed in the field at our fingertips. So we may have to research that and come back to you with that. I can tell you that, you know, everybody knows we had a very poor year with illumination last year. And I would say that we're, you know, we are bouncing back this year. Our target market is the Sun Belt states in the United States, so that's the focus of our marketing. That doesn't mean that's the only place we will make sales, but that's the only place we are trying to drive sales. And we're still in this, what seems like a forever waiting game for technology improvements and costs to come down, which will make this a mainstream product. But in the meantime, we are, you know, our order book is building. And I don't know if your question was leading to this, but we expect that illumination will be an important component of our profitability in 2018.
Okay. And when you, is there, is the outlook for further cost reductions in components, is that will we see that in this generation of products? Like, is it a volume thing from your suppliers on the current generation, or do you, is it still a, is there, I guess there's, it's both, but I'm wondering if you're going to see cost reductions sort of in this generation, or do you need to see the next sort of generation that your suppliers may be working on?
Well, the technologies that that we integrate into a solar-powered light are all market technologies that are being developed by the specific suppliers. And, you know, to put a fine point on this, Mac, we have calculated that the most important of these is LED efficiencies. Current efficiencies are about 150 lumens per watt, and that's in our current devices, this generation of devices. We have calculated that for the product cost to go to the level that they need to be so that this becomes a mainstream product, lumens per watt efficiency has to rise to about 225 lumens per watt, and if it does so, the amount of solar panel and battery that has to to be assembled within, integrated into a system to power that, will become correspondingly smaller. And of course, there is improvement in efficiencies happening in solar panels, which will also help make those panels smaller and less costly, and the same impact happens on batteries. So these three technologies, as I have been saying, now it seems like forever, have to collaborate together to bring these costs in line. This is the work of others. We're an integrator of these technologies, and our mission is to patiently wait and to stay in the game and to be profitable with our, with this business while we wait for, these movements in technology development curves to bring this in line. So, it's the same story repeated. Will it happen in this generation? As soon as our major LED supplier makes this change, it almost flows automatically into the current product array. The big significant change in terms of this generation of product will be energy storage, and we are looking forward to the day that we can economically use high energy density batteries, which would be either lithium ion or nickel metal hydride technology in our device rather than lead acid batteries, and do so on a cost effective basis, because when we do that, the amount of metals, enclosures, and those costs will also go down. Because they, the high energy density batteries weigh an awful lot less, and are require much less metals to house and hoist in the air.
Okay, and then quickly on the telematics, like it's really, I understand it's very new, and there's opportunity there. How are you thinking about 2018 in terms of a revenue opportunity? Like, was the purpose to tell us, hey, this is happening now, just as a sort of a heads up, or are you encouraging us to start baking in revenue and revenue growth from that?
Well, I think that the first point is, when we first announced we were heading into this business, it was the basis of which was a non-recurring engineering project for a single customer. And the target, both for ourselves and our customer, Globalstar, was that this work would yield a product.
But all of us, and that includes Globalstar and ourselves, have uncertainty when you enter into one of these projects, which was, turned out to be a year-long project, as to whether there will be customer demand for the products that, are the subject of the project. I think what's important here is we completed the project. The product's been approved. And not only has it been approved, but there have been pretty significant orders that have initial orders that have come forward. And I will tell you that we've already received more orders for this device. It's a low-cost device, but we've received more orders in terms of unit quantity than we've received for any other product in our corporate history. It signifies to me that there is customer demand for endpoint peripherals in this whole connected world thrust that is that's happening everywhere, and we see we theorize that if there is good volume and interest for this one customer, that there must be other customers that have similar needs for small solar-powered endpoint peripherals that we can we could use our expertise to build for them. So we're on that quest for other customers at this point in time, while we're certainly enjoying the work we're doing with Globalstar.
Okay. Great. Thanks, guys. Those are all my questions.
Great. Thank you.
And from Canaccord Genuity, we have Rial Vilabsan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Rial. Can't hear you, Rial.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, so just first, with respect to synergies from Vega, what do you expect to be the improvement in EBITDA, or maybe just the reduction in OPEX that we should expect in the second half of this year once this integration is completed? And congratulations for, you expect it to be completed well before your original deadline.
Yeah, it's... Evan, these costs are of course tailing off through 2018, and will be out of the way when we cease operations there. So we have a staff of 20 some odd people there that remain employed. These are rough numbers, in New Zealand, and those job functions are ending as we consolidate. So we have all of the SG&A expenses attached to Vega. We will retain a little bit of the sales cost that was happening at Vega, where that maps into the I would say relative weakness that SABIC had in some parts of the world. But largely that it'll be a reduction. And I think it was, what percentage of operating costs, Evan?
It was about 3 to 4% of our quarterly revenue that we saw in this quarter that was still in Vega, that won't be in Vega as it shuts down.
Yeah, so there is an add back there that we'll start to realize over time. And not all of that, but it's close to that, I think.
Perfect. But this will not be a net reduction, because once you incorporate the Vega operations in your overall signals business, should we think about this as 3 to 4% as net reduction in OPEX, or should we think about this being offset by increase in OPEX for the overall signals division?
It's not a complete net back, but it's pretty darn close. Remember, our SABIC Marine has a
already had a robust distribution system and manufacturing capability. What we have done is rationalize the product line. So there are we had duplicate offerings between SABIC and Vega. So we have taken those parts of the Vega product line that are most successful in the world. We are transferring those to capacity that we have in Finland and Estonia. So there's no net gain there. And the operating costs, you know, we're sort of replacing about 20 FTEs or so with about two add back. So it's about a 90% to 80 to 90% net gain.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you. And then you also said that you're putting the New Zealand real estate up for sale. I don't know how much color you can provide, but any color on what sort of cash flows we can see once that property is divested?
Yeah, we've accepted an offer on the property and have a deposit. I think that the transaction closes in August, I think, and it will add a couple of million dollars U.S. in cash. Is it that?
Yeah, it'll add probably 1.5 million New Zealand dollars in August or September when that closes.
Perfect, thank you. And then with respect to the backlog, we are at 8.9 million. Can you remind us what this backlog was in Q4 17?
Both the same.
Okay, and now this 8.9 million, a significant chunk of that, about 33 to 40% of that, is the telematics product, I'm guessing?
1.1 million was telematics.
1.1 million.
Yeah, the order that we announced, because it was material, we announced it by way of press release, occurred post Q1.
Oh, yeah, that's right, exactly. Okay, and then just finally, with respect to gross margins for the signals division, can you just give us some more color on the sales mix, which resulted in the margin decline?
Not really. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, the margins are falling within our typical and expected range. You know, the margins that we look for would always be in this 40 to 45% range. So this is falling right in the middle of our range, and you know, it just varies by sales mix. Certain products require market pricing to produce a lower margin. Certainly, sometimes there's larger contracts that have larger margins, smaller margins. And so it's just, you know, the vagaries of that mix that causes the overall gross margins to land where they are. We, you know, when we're in a corporately, when we see margins in this, dead in between 40 and 45%, we're pretty satisfied.
Got it. Perfect. Congratulations again on the launch of the telematics product, and looking forward to seeing what the Evergen product does next. Thank you.
Yeah, so as are we. Thank you.
From GMP Securities, we have Justin Keywood. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Morning, Justin.
Hi. I'm just trying to calculate the organic growth contribution for Q1.
In the signals division?
Or generally?
Yes, or overall, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, it's tricky to calculate now that we've integrated Vega into, if we're looking at just marine or something, into it now. So we're sort of shying away from it as everything integrates in. Actually, I know last quarter we did, but we haven't this quarter just because it's all getting integrated into our pipeline of all our business lines.
Okay. Is it fair to assume that organic growth should still be double digits going forward for the signals business?
No, I don't think so. We aren't making growth projections sort of going forward, Justin. I think, and it really depends on mix a lot. And I would not want to respond to that question and give you any information that may not be be factual. We'd need to consider that, and before we could give you any kind of reasonable response.
Okay, fair enough. And then on the telematics product, I'm just wondering what's Carmanna's value proposition versus competing devices, and maybe what led to you guys winning those large orders.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that's a good question. I mean, what Carmanna's product development DNA is all about. Being able to build very energy efficient circuits and to house these in very robust packages that can withstand the most violent environments, and to do so powering these often by solar. So those are three attributes that we have that we bring to the party when we're trying to build endpoint peripherals. This device that we just completed for Globalstar, this is the first solar-powered intrinsically safe device that's been certified in the world. It was hard to do, but we have accomplished that. And so that's a real sort of big claim to fame. And we gain this DNA from years of building solar-powered devices started in the marine world where we needed to have products perform well, high performance on very small energy budgets, because we were relying on solar. And so that's what we have learned to do over time, and we're applying that skill set in terms of building these devices. I would say that we're really good at this, and it brings all our talents to bear when we can build a small device like this one. I mean, this the solar smart one that we're building for Globalstar is about the size of two iPhones stacked on top of each other, and it has an amazing amount of technology in it. Three radios, satellite radio, obviously, to talk to the Globalstar low Earth orbiting satellite constellation, GPS, Bluetooth. It's really a pretty staggeringly good device that we've built. So, it really was a combination of all our skill sets learned over the last 20 years.
Okay, that's very helpful. I'm just wondering, for this order, is it just asset tracking, or is it much more information that the devices are providing?
Well, the devices are capable of providing all sorts of information. I mean, think of this as a communications hub. This would be a device that our customers can place on in a variety of places. The traditional use, of course, is for asset tracking, and this would be high-value movable assets that customers want to monitor their whereabouts, but it goes far beyond that. The device has the ability to gather data from sensors that are located within its proximity, either wired to it through an input-output port that the device has, or where sensor data is moved via Bluetooth to the device and then transmitted to the satellite. So I'm going to give you an example that may or may not be a real world example, but it's a possibility. You could put this device on a tractor trailer that is non-powered. You could have sensors on the doors of the tractor trailer that relay data for every time the doors open and close. You could have volume sensors that would tell you how much, you know, what the capacity of the trailer would be. Temperature sensors. You could have sensors on brake linings on the tractor trailer, sort of operating temperature, as well as location-based information. And all that data can be gathered and moved via Bluetooth to the Solar Smart One device, Globalstar Solar Smart One device that we've built for them. And then obviously that data moves to the satellite and then on to customers for their monitoring purposes. So so there's a multiplicity of uses for this device. We use, of course, the same satellite radio in our illumination products now. So every one of our current Evergen streetlights gathers data. Obviously, the streetlights are where we've left them, you know, when they're installed. But it's gathering data about the state of charge on batteries and the health of the light and is it operating properly, and submitting that that information on so that we can monitor these products remotely. So the world of data collection at the endpoint peripherals is huge, and devices like this, I think, have great potential.
I really appreciate that additional information. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Standing by for any further questions. And we have Canaccord Genuity back online. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just one more question from me. Is your distribution strategy different for the telematics product longer term compared to your other products? Is it going to be mostly through Globalstar that you're going to sell this product? If you can just provide us some more color on that.
Well, our first product that we've made by telematics has a single customer, and that's Globalstar. So we have, this particular product we will sell exclusively to Globalstar, who will on-sell it to through their value-added reseller network to end users. And you know, Globalstar's business model you can research on your own, but it's basically no different than any other communications carrier where they both sell the hardware and then the data transmissions that that result from deployment of that. So that's a single device that we are making, and we will manufacture and sell by agreement for the next 3 years minimum for to Globalstar. At the same time, we now wish to develop other customers who will have who would be similar to Globalstar, perhaps not satellite operators, but these could be those involved in using other communications technology like cellular or LoRa or other forms of communication. We can be fairly agnostic about all of that. We're really just in the endpoint peripheral business. We, of course, would like to take this expertise that we have in building these products and deploy it in our own verticals. We are doing so by adding communications technologies, as you know, to all of our marine obstruction illumination products, and we're on a program to do that. But we're also interested in either starting or acquiring other verticals that where we think we could enhance value by adding our own capabilities.
Got it. Thank you so much.
And standing by for any further questions. All right, looks like we have no further questions at this time.
Good, thanks, operator. Well, thanks again to everyone who's attended on the call today. If questions occur or come to mind after this call ends, please feel free to be in touch with us either by contacting us by way of investor relations section on our website or calling the numbers listed there. Thanks again for everyone for attending, and I think we will close the call now. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference for today. If you have any further questions, please call our Carmanas Investor Relations toll-free number at 1-877-722-8877. Thank you for participating. Please disconnect at this time.